Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Crazy situation. You know, something pops up this offseason where LeBron says, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
But it seems like he's going to come back.
Yeah. It's from what Woj said. He was like, it sounds like that LeBron's going to opt out, become a free agent for the first time since 2018. Ultimately restructure his deal for 2 to 3 years to come back to the Lakers. And LeBron told Woj that Bronny is no longer a priority. Playing with him is no longer a priority for next season, and he wants to find Bronny the best developmental system for him. To me, that sounds like...
That's a bad move. Yeah. That's how you should be thinking.
So I hope that's what it is, because that's what it should be, because Bronny is not... He is not ready. And... Yeah, maybe it's a last-ditch effort by the Lakers to draft Bronny if they feel like LeBron's going to leave. But I also think that there needs to be a discussion overall about, like, do you want to rerun this back? Or is it time to figure out the next era of Los Angeles Lakers?
And there's a real conversation that needs to be had about super teams. And what we're watching the last 2 years seems to be the death of the super team.
Yeah.
I think in these playoffs, at least, the last-ditch effort here is the Clippers, but they don't have Kawhi going forward as the super team with the Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, add Norman Powell and Russell West, having all these different players from different places coming to play for you. Clippers are the last hope, but the Mavs are going to be a tough out if the Clippers are going to get over top. But the Suns are done. The Lakers are done. Clippers are the last we're looking at. What wins now is having a core of homegrown talent that you develop and then adding pieces along the way. That, like the Aaron Gordon move for the Nuggets.
Or weird, something crazy like enough, that. Rudy Gobert.
Right, but like that's what wins.
Yeah.
I mean, the Thunder, mostly a homegrown core. I know they traded for SGA, but most of his good ball and his development came in a Thunder uniform. But all of his good development and good years came in a Thunder uniform.
Absolutely.
The Nuggets, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. The Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards at the top. Mavs, Luka Doncic at the top.
Celtics.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, having that homegrown talent, adding talent with role players along the way, that's what wins. It's not just going and getting as many superstars and all-stars as you can on max contracts.
Good. I like it.
I enjoy it because it favors smaller markets.
It bodes well for the Grizz.
And that's why I like where the Grizzlies are at. That's why you can't hate where the Grizzlies are at right now. You have to enjoy it.
It's why I'm team.
You have three homegrown pieces, and then you can add alongside of it.
It's why I'm ultimately team don't go after KD.
Yeah. You haven't, to me, with the big three they have here, that we have here, they have enough to compete for a championship. It's going to be about everybody else they add alongside of them. How well is this thing going to be put together? What does your team chemistry look like next year and 2 years from now?
Right.
It's that simple. The Nuggets had to have a lot of patience to get their championship and to put themselves in the position they're in right now. And they had to make some moves around the edges and say goodbye to some pieces that they loved over the years. We've seen that with the Grizzlies. Tyus Jones is gone. Kyle Anderson, like these guys are out the door, and they're trying to make Steven Adams gone. Guys that have helped you get to this point are gone. You have to replace them with better pieces, more collective, better meshing pieces.
No Dylan Brooks mention?
Dylan Brooks too. Dylan Brooks. that was on accident. I promise that was on accident. Now tonight we have 76ers at Knicks. Are the 76ers, Joel Embiid, biggest through these playoffs, biggest villain at this point?
Probably so for me.
And
no one's
bothering
team.
Me too.
Can't stand him.
Every chance that Joel Embiid has to throw out why he's not performing at the highest level, he takes that opportunity. Now he's got a migraine today, and he's questionable for tonight's game. So we have migraine, Bell's palsy, knee. I'm tired of copy and pasting every year and just being like, oh, well, if he was healthy, who knows what the 76ers could have been. I'm done with that. I'm completely done with that. Until you show me you're healthy and don't have, like, migraine and Bell's palsy and all these things pop up, I'm just going to consistently think you're going to fall short.
Charles Oakley basically said, stop crying if you're hurt. Be home and be hurt. My thing is, I do believe you can believe two things at once. You can respect that he's playing through an injury trying to help his team.
Sure.
I also don't need to hear about it every single game.
Chance. Every time you have a chance, you say it.
I know. But you also drop 50 points in your team, and you're still not scoring in the fourth quarter. Joel Embiid, does the knee injury just pop up in the fourth quarter? Or does this the whole game?
It's getting to be a little much.
I'm tired of whining.
Magic Cavs, we'll see how that plays out. Cavs, it's transition back to Cleveland. We'll see how that goes. No road team has won, and they always say that a series doesn't start until a road team wins. So maybe the Magic can make that happen tonight. Then Pacers versus Bucks. I'm just going to throw this out to you. I know how I feel. Dame and Giannis are game-time decisions tonight. Dame, it's being reported, the Achilles strain. He's only run in a pool. That's all he's done to this point. No 5-on-5s, nothing like that. Giannis has not done 5-on-5s. He's only run. He's only finally begun to run. And he has a soleus strain, just like Kristaps Porzingis sustained last night. They're down 3-1. Only one team in the history of ever has come down from 3-1, the 2016 Cavs. Why would you play them? Like, what's the big draw to playing them tonight? Because no one except for the 2016 Cavs have ever come back. And both of these injuries are tied into Achilles injuries that could really get worse. And they could rupture them. And the chance for significant injury risk is definitely up. I just don't think that they should. I think they should accept it's over and try to run it back going into next year.
I tend to agree. We have just seen so many instances in the past of guys trying to play through this specific type of injury and popping.
The truth of the matter is, I think they'll force it. They'll try to force it tonight, at least one of the two. I just don't know if that's good for their future prospects. They have to figure out this offseason what they want to do, especially with Doc Rivers, and they need to just try to say, you know, cut your losses. Let's get this thing going back next year. And I know how long an 82-game season is and how long it is till next season and how excruciating the wait is. But I just think there's too much of a chance. There's a big risk you're running tonight, down 3-1, throwing them out there with injuries that are tied directly to Achilles. I just don't like that for either of those guys. I don't want to see either of those guys get more hurt than they are now.
Agreed.
It's that simple. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll get to Jeff Calkins right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Sweet it is to be
loved by you. Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas. Online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Someone to understand my ups and downs. There you were.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how goes it?
It's good. I was not listening at the moment that I heard, but I heard from Claire that Connor ran out of gas.
Yeah, he did. He sure did.
Where did he run out of gas?
No, what's hilarious is We do the show every day. I was the first one that caught him. He ran out of gas turning left off of Colonial onto Park. And I passed his Nissan Rogue and called him. And
really?
I go, Because I fully expected him to still be in the vehicle.
I fled the scene.
I fully expected him to be in the vehicle. But he ditched his car and went around the corner and hid from everybody because he couldn't
face
take
the embarrassment.
What was your approach? How did you get out of this pickle, Connor?
Luckily, my wife was home, and I had a full gas can at the house because of I had just got done mowing the lawn, so she just ran it up to me. And I was out of it within 15 minutes. It was just the most embarrassing 15 minutes of my life.
The moment that you ran out of the gas, or as you're filling it up, standing there on the in the
that's gotta
road?
Be it.
So weirdly enough, I think it's running out of gas. I felt more embarrassed because part of me thought maybe they thought I was the husband saving the wife, and maybe I don't know. I was like, maybe they don't know it wasn't my car, and like, I just had a look of slight disappointment on my face. Like, I know, right? This is crazy. I can't believe this happened. But no, I fled the scene.
So
I couldn't face it.
Was it natural when you realized what was happening, or when you had to exit the car for the walk of walk of shame?
It wasn't a walk. It was a sprint.
The sprint of shame. Yeah. Now I had several. There was a period of my life when I was talking to Gary every day, and I ran out of gas probably 3 times while I was talking to Gary, but that was because my gas gauge didn't work. I actually, except for that brief year and a half period of my life when I ran out of gas 3 times probably on the radio, I don't actually run out of gas.
Was this the van?
It was a different van.
Okay. It's the first time it's ever happened to me,
probably the last.
Was there a moment like 2 days ago when you said, I should fill it up, but then you just forgot? What happened?
So what happened was with my Nissan Rogue, for some reason, when you get to about 15 miles left in your gas can, it just stops telling you how much you have in it. It's just 3 dotted lines. So you're just like, I guess I'm good.
Normally it says miles. It says you got 15 miles left.
Right. So
okay.
I took a risk. I thought, I knew that I needed gas. I ran out of gas. It was on the way to the gas station when I ran out of gas.
He was probably a third of a mile away.
Yeah, I was about a football field away from it. So it was mortifying. I took a risk.
In the Super Bowl, you know, just a yard short.
Yes. I took a risk, and I told Gabe, I remember, as I was about to turn, I remember thinking, the car's kicking a little bit. And I was like, it must just be the road. Nah, it was me being stupid.
I will say the funniest part of this, though, Jeff, I'm driving back from TCBY and enjoying a little ice cream cone. And I see Connor poke his head out from behind this shed. I guess there was a garage over there.
Yeah, somebody had their garage open.
He poked his head out just because he saw
my car
passing. He was hiding, very much hiding, Jeff.
I couldn't.
Did you stop, or did you just continue along with your ice cream cone?
I continued. I asked if he needed help. So he can attest to that. He said Kat was on the way. So I would have taken longer.
It was mortifying. But, yeah, I couldn't face the embarrassment. And the funniest thing to me was there were people that were stopping next to my car to yell at whoever was in the car for where it was broken down. And there was just nobody there. So watching the people not have the satisfaction of being able to yell.
That's great.
Yeah.
I guess it's better that it's good that you didn't stay in the car.
Isn't it true, though? We were talking about this, Jeff. Isn't it true when someone, say they cut you off on the road or they do what Connor did, you want the satisfaction of pulling up next and seeing, who is this a-hole? I got to see this person's face.
It is interesting. You do want to see them. In fact, just today, I was behind someone at 2 consecutive stop signs where they clearly, you know, the stoplights, the light changes, and they don't go. They're clearly looking at their phone in consecutive stop signs, right? If it happens once, whatever. But literally when it happens, I'm behind him at 2 consecutive, and I in fact wanted the satisfaction. I don't do any more flipping of birds or anything else, or, you know, and that doesn't occasion a flipping of a bird anyway. I wouldn't have, but even in the old days, before everybody was armed. It is funny. You do want to see who it is. It is an interesting phenomenon.
You just want to give them a little bit of a look, just some type of look.
If they looked to the bush to the left, they would have seen me.
I'm not sure I would give them a look, maybe, but I would certainly look at them, yes. That's hilarious, Connor. You're hiding sort of to avoid the baleful stares of the passersby. But you were keeping an eye on the car.
Yes. I was, Where I was, there's that little apartment complex, like right on Park and Colonial. I was in there. There was a big bush that I could hide behind. And then I noticed that somebody's garage was open. So I just kind of slid in there.
I just saw him take one or two steps around the corner while I'm eating my ice cream cone to wave high and then retreat back behind it until the gas can got there for him. Beautiful stuff. It was phenomenal.
I'm glad all is well.
Yeah, glad all is well, though, now. I'm glad it wasn't the he was actually telling me he wanted it to be his engine so he would be less
embarrassed. It would have been my fault. Yeah, if it was the engine failure, it would have been my fault. This was fully me just being stupid.
Yeah,
it's hard to accept, hard to swallow.
That's tough. All right, now, the Lakers get knocked out of the playoffs last night. And we've had this discussion before, Jeff, but it's the complete death of the super team seems to be complete. It's upon us. I guess the Clippers are the last one you look at, but Kawhi's hurt at this particular moment. But all these other teams that are advancing, it's homegrown superstars, and then they add pieces along the way.
Yeah, that's good. I think it's a positive development in the NBA. And I'm not saying that it won't someday turn again. But the last one that won was, you know, the Durant aided Warriors, and they were winning titles anyway right before.
Well, would you throw AD and LeBron in the COVID year into there?
Oh.
To a certain extent.
To a certain extent, yes, because LeBron just sort of picked where he was going, and then they forced the AD trade, and yeah, I guess, if you count that, yeah. If you count the bubble titles, yes, I think that probably counts. But yeah, it's a positive development, and some of it simply may be that
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Luke, it's where the personalities have landed. I mean, who knows if someday Anthony Edwards, I have no idea, will try to get out of Minnesota or not, right? You just have no idea. But some of it's very clearly, you know, the tax issues. I think the way this is ownership wanted to do this. Yeah. You know, the NBA, they wanted to make it punitive for teams to operate with those colossal salaries. And you can do it, but you're paying a huge price. And so, yeah, it's good to see.
Yeah. Now, I asked this before I brought you on. Are the 76ers, Joel Embiid, are they the biggest, are they the villain so far in these playoffs. I know they're down 3-1, but there seems to be sort of a villain growing there with Joel Embiid and, you know, knocking Mitchell Robinson out of the playoffs with his sort of rolling on his leg with a dirty play. And then also, I am growing tired of, it seems like every opportunity Joel Embiid has to tell us how hurt he is. He tells us that the Bell's palsy, the knee, the now he has a migraine and he's questionable for tonight. Are you feeling the same way Connor and I are?
I'm not feeling villain at all.
Okay.
I don't feel villain for two reasons. One, when you're down 3-1, villains are all powerful.
Yeah, villains have to win, right? Yeah, okay, I can get with that.
And B, Joel Embiid is legitimately injured, and he has Bell's palsy. And one of the things that comes with Bell's palsy is migraines. And so I actually have sympathy for Joel Embiid. Now, I do think that was a dirty play, you know, when he tugged on Mitchell Robinson. I 100% agree with that. But I do not see them as villainous simply because, I mean, they're kind of underdogs. You know, I mean, they're down 3-1 and they're beat up, and Joel Embiid is always beat up. And I don't get the sense that he's faking being beat up. He was clearly grumpy that there were so many Knicks fans at the Philadelphia game, and so there's been a little whining here and there, but no, to me, they're not a villain.
Yeah, have you given up on the Joel Embiid, like, oh, if he was healthy, it would have been a lot different for the 76ers, because every year it's the same thing. Well, it could be Bell's palsy, sure, or a knee, or he's just, his back hurts. It's just always something.
Sure, Yeah, sure. I think that's true, that I don't go into the year thinking this is going to be the Sixers' year because they're going to be healthy. But I see his career as more sort of not tragic exactly, but a little bit like unbelievably talented dude who just can't be healthy. So I'm coming at this Sixers thing from a much more empathetic place,
yes,
than you are.
Very much so.
Than you are. So I don't, no. There's, to me, is there a villain left? Do I have a villain left in the playoffs? Not really. Like, Jokic is so, you know, that team is,
they're likable.
I think pretty likable, right? And, I mean, and people want to make Gobert a villain. Like, everyone evidently hates him, but he's very clearly been key to that team's, you know, one instrumental to that team's success. I think maybe people should stop saying he's overrated. He's been great and a key to that defense. So Gobert could be a villain, but I don't find him.
Connor says the Thunder for that ridiculous "What a Pro Wants" commercial. But they can't. They're too young to be a villain. We can't do that to them. And they're too nice. They just seem too nice. They're playful.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, you know, I've never been a big fan of OKC, but that's, some of that's just jealousy, right? They had KD, and the truth of the matter is, though, then they created this. Like, this team that they built, it's not like, you know, anything was handed to them. They had their team destroyed when Kevin Durant leaves, and then they have to rebuild again, and Paul George doesn't want to be there, and so they make, you know what they are? They're resourceful. They're incredibly resourceful the way they've built this team. You sort of have to look at them with admiration. I don't really see the Celtics as villainous because, you know, what kind of success have they had? They've floundered typically, you know, when they get to the playoffs, or at least stubbed their toe.
And they've been pretty resourceful with what they've added to that roster.
Now that the Lakers are gone, I'm not really rooting against anyone.
What about the Clippers? Is Clippers the best you could do, even?
I guess, but I don't really take them seriously as like a title contender, particularly without Kawhi. Well, obviously they've won the games without Kawhi, but I mean, Russell Westbrook is, you know, a reduced vision version of himself. So I guess Harden, you know, Harden's kind of a villain. He's made himself into a villain. Sure. I'll root against them. I don't feel like they're enough of a threat for me to waste too much time rooting against them. You know what I mean? And I root against Kyrie anyway, you know? So I kind of root against both teams in that series because I root against Kyrie and I, whatever. So, but neither one, you know, to the Warriors or Lakers level. I'm having a hard time working up any hate over these NBA playoffs.
I guess you're just not you're not as big of a hater as I painted you as. I've been accused of not being as big a hater as I should be, but hey, it is what it is.
I don't know. You've mustered some hate for the Sixers I can't really get over what
Joel Embiid, not just the Mitchell Robinson thing. He's played an all-time dirty series, and it feels like a lot of the injury excuses he's trying to use to sort of, you know, put all that stuff to the side, and that bothers me. And Connor and I have both been on this page the entire series.
You're allowed to be.
Yeah. Now, last thing on the NBA playoffs. I don't know if you saw the update on the Bucks tonight. They're at home against the Pacers. They're down 3-1, and it looks like they're going to maybe give Giannis and Dame a go to try to make this thing happen and pull off the miraculous comeback. I know that you're in the playoffs and you can't take these opportunities for granted. But that just, I do not want to see either of those guys get more hurt than they already are. And we're talking about an Achilles strain, which could definitely get more, could get worse, and a soleus strain, which is what Kevin Durant had before his Achilles popped. I do not want to see these guys get absolutely, you know, hindered going into next season because of a stupid effort to try to come back down from 3-1 when only one team in the history of the NBA has done that.
Well, I don't want to see them get hurt either. So I'll agree with you there. I guess I assume if there was a really significant risk of injury, the doctors would tell them not to do it. So I'm going to assume they're being gallant and giving it a go, but that there is not a significant risk of injury.
That's a hell of an assumption. We'll say that. We've seen medical teams push the limits for chances to win, but hey. It is what it is. Now, on to Paul Feinbaum. Did anything strike you about what he said? He had Memphis. Said Memphis was a better fit than SMU to the ACC. He said the Arkansas-Memphis basketball series needs to be played, and he said the whole country wants it. He even went out of his way to say he was dead wrong about Ryan Silverfield. I definitely want your thoughts on that. But what struck you about sort of what was written up and what he said last night to the Memphis Touchdown Club?
What struck me really was how much he was – like, here's the truth. So Paul Feinbaum used to be – like, he made his name originally as a hater, you know, that's what he did. He made his name as a hater. In fact, I think he wrote a series of books, Why, Reasons to Hate, Reasons to Hate. This is sort of back before he was blew up quite the way he did. And the truth of the matter is he actually used to pile on Memphis, even though he's from Memphis. A lot of us, he's grown soft because like there is an element of truth to all of that. I have said for forever that I think the Power Five has missed the boat when it comes to underestimating Memphis. I absolutely agree with that. And it's nice to hear him say it, but like on all those things, there's a little bit of saying what the playing to the audience here.
Sure.
Right. So, you know, to come in and say that the Big 12 and the ACC or whoever are making a mistake by not taking Memphis, to come in and say that, you know, Ryan's great and that he was wrong on Ryan, and like all three are a little pandering, right?
Sure.
I don't really think the whole country wants Arkansas-Memphis. I don't think the country is particularly thinking about Arkansas-Memphis, right? The whole country might want some things, but Arkansas-Memphis playing in basketball is not one of them. It doesn't mean I think he's wrong, because I do think he's right about 100% about Memphis and the realignment. And I think, and this is the point that Mark made when I was listening to him this earlier today, that I agree with. The fact that Paul Feinbaum says this or believes this or said this last night is totally meaningless in terms of, you know, whether Memphis will ever make it over the fence, right? Of course it is. Like, no one outside the community even knows what he said, right? It was just at the Hilton and whatever else. But I do think this, that the fact that Paul said it, and then just a couple weeks ago, Dan Wetzel talked about how significant the involvement of FedEx is with the University of Memphis. You know, these things start to accumulate, and what you want is you want to be the school that when something happens, it feels like almost inevitable that that school will be the one that gets in. So once upon a time with UCF, you know, UCF was on the outside looking in. But they reached this moment in time that you're like, okay, if something happens, you know they're going to take UCF. And then there was a moment in time when you're like, if something happens, you know they're going to take Cincinnati. Now, a lot of it has to do with winning. Like, the big piece of this is Memphis has to now have the football season that it aspires to have this coming year. But I do think that what you want is you want to become the sort of inevitable next choice. And the fact that Dan Wetzel is kind of saying it and Paul Feinbaum is kind of saying it indicates that Memphis is actually sort of creating momentum to being that, to being the next school that will be picked. And I think that is not insignificant.
Yes, but the next school that is going to be picked or could potentially be picked to where? ACC,
right, yeah.
when they sort of implode with Florida State and Clemson and North Carolina, whatever it looks like. That seems like the obvious one.
Yeah, all you can do is be the like, you never know exactly where the next one's coming or whatever else. So all you can do is try to put yourself in a position that you are the next candidate, however it happens. Given the fact that the Big 12 will be at 16 already, right, and that seems like the number where they will stay at least for a while, the only place you can look as a possibility right now is, well, hey, I mean, the most likely place anyway, is, hey, if the ACC blows up because Clemson and Florida State want out and it just ends up blowing up, then the shards of the ACC might be looking for, you know, people to add. And so, yes, that's clearly the most, that's the one scenario that right now we can sort of look at and say, yeah, that might happen. But I don't think the fact that you can't necessarily see it coming does not excuse you from being prepared for when the moment does come. And I think I give them credit, and I take some, that to me, that was the most significant thing. The most significant thing that Paul said was it's just an indication that Memphis is, yet another indication that Memphis has made itself a much more compelling candidate. Listen, if Paul had been here, same talk 5 years ago, he would not have said that.
Yeah, not even close.
Right? He would not have said it because the academics hadn't been achieved, because there was no plan hadn't been elevated, because there was no plan for the football stadium yet, because there wasn't a history of success or whatever 10 years ago, the history of success in football. Now he can come in and say that. And even if it's slightly pandering, it's also reasonable. You know, like, it's something that he can say, whereas right, a decade ago, there's no way he would have even, been able to keep a straight face saying that.
Yeah. Now, what I know you say that some of this is pandering. The one thing that I didn't necessarily view as pandering is, like, it's saying you're wrong about Ryan Silverfield at this point. I know that they won 10 games last year, but let's just, like, if we review what happened last year, maybe Paul is just sort of looking at 10-3 and a win in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl is just, oh, that's overwhelmingly positive. They won every game they were supposed to win. They lost every game they were supposed to lose. I felt like you don't necessarily have to go out of your way to say you were wrong about Ryan, because he said it after the second 6-6 game, but you don't necessarily have to go out of your way to say that you're wrong about him.
And that's why I kind of think it's pandering.
Okay, all right.
He didn't have to, I think if you really, like, here's the truth. Ryan had a good year last year.
Sure.
And he earned the extension that he got. And he
but
had
this year's the teller.
Program,
this year's the ultimate test.
Yes, but he had a good year. Like, but it is true that if you were someone who was like, I think he's terrible, and you wanted to hold on to that, you know, you could, because you could say, yeah, he still hasn't even been in the conference championship
right,
game. Let's before I say I'm dead wrong, let's see how this year, when there are real expectations and there's going to be no excuse for not being in, let's see how that plays out. So I think he did not have to come out and say he's dead wrong, because you can say, let me see it one more year. Let me see the next step, and then I'll say I was wrong. I think now things are looking much more favorable. You're being stubborn, not you, but one is being stubborn if they don't deny that. The progress that has been made, the momentum that has been sort of rebuilt all of that, the optimism that exists within the program. But I don't think it has been 100% proven that Ryan is a success, right? I think looking better, and everyone hopes that this will be the year, but I do still think he has to do it this year.
Yeah. Now, final thing for Jeff Calkins, at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show from 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. You got some lawyer in you. You can sort of at least walk me through at least a tad bit more from what I may not know with this the revenue sharing and the NCAA and what we're going to see in college athletics going forward. But there seems to be two cases that may force the NCAA's hand and college athletics' hand on revenue sharing. They have the House versus the NCAA, which says you can't limit earning power of student athletes, and then Carter versus NCAA, which says that schools should be able to pay players directly for their performance. And it looks like there's a bunch of schools around the country that are waiting for the settlements in these cases, and they're getting ready. Trev Alberts is the one that is most notable that has spoken up on it at A&M. He said that he's trying to get $15 to $20 million ready for the revenue sharing with his college athletes. What can you tell me on this situation and how you understand it?
Yeah, and to be clear, that's annually he's talking about. He's talking about adding sure. $15 to $20 million annually to the budget. And essentially, what's happened is that you know, the NCAA has done nothing until it is forced to do it, right? And so what's happening now is they're facing these cases. Jeffrey Kessler is the lawyer,
yep.
who basically, in a lot of them, represents athletes. But just take the House case. That one involves limitations on NIL going forward. It's like, well, we're suing, so you can't put any limitations on what we can get in terms of NIL. But also looking backward, and basically saying that but for all these limitations that you had put on NIL, we would have made a lot more money. And they're looking at more than $1 billion in damages. And because it's an antitrust case, damages are troubled, are multiplied by three. And so the NCAA, just there, and its member institutions, are looking at a potentially $4 billion liability. Well, that's a lot of money.
Yes.
And so the NCAA is saying, hey, how about if we instead come up with a settlement that that creates a new universe? Now you'd also have to, there will ultimately have to be, I would imagine, as part of the settlement, payments to these athletes who've already finished.
Yep.
But basically saying, let's see if we can work this out. Now, there's all kinds of complications here. Like, in the end, they're talking about quote-unquote revenue sharing. In other words, right now, when the NBA gets money from TV contracts, it goes to this big pot of money, and the NBA and the players basically share 50-50. That's
yeah.
how you determine how the salary cap is set, right? Because it's set at basically the players get half and the owners get half. Well, right now, Ole Miss gets $50 million from TV, and you know what happens? Ole Miss keeps the money.
All of them, yeah.
All the money, except for whatever they dole out, you know. But Ole Miss keeps the money, and then athletes can get this NIL money, but that does not come from that pot of money. And so essentially what the athletes are saying, or what Jeffrey Kessler is saying, is that we deserve a share of the TV money, of the big money that is pouring in, just like NBA players get a share of the money, just like NFL players get a share of the money. We deserve a share of the money. But how they're going to do that unless they call them employees
right.
Is totally confusing to me. So, the mechanics of it are incredibly complicated. And without a collective bargaining agreement, it's also unclear. And now we're getting way into the weeds.
Well, but
it's unclear how.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Schools aren't allowed to come together and still, you know, if let's say you put a limit of $20 million a year. You still couldn't do that unless it's in the context of an employee relationship
and a
trust exemption.
What Connor and I were talking about this at the break. Like these conversations, because everything seems separate at this moment. Revenue sharing, employee-employer relationship, transfer portal conversation. Everything's separate, so these conversations can become convoluted very quickly. Because those things need to be settled on their own accord, like on their own timeline.
I think they're pretty clearly having conversations about all of this in the room. Like,
right.
I think the lesson is that, however, like right now we're in this wilderness where there's no limits on NIL, there's no limits on the portal, there's no, you know, and there can't be because the courts are going to strike them down. And so I think what's happening now is, these cases are sort of they're accelerating the new universe, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're thinking, well, when are they finally going to get to calling these players employees, or when are they going to finally get to, remaking the system? And I think what's going to cause them to do that in a holistic manner and in a way that revolutionizes college sports is the threat of these cases. Like the reason that the NCAA and the member institutions are having these discussions is because they don't want to part with $4 billion.
That's
right. Crushing. And so it's the impetus for change. And I think, you know, certainly within the next 5 years and maybe within the next two, we'll be looking at some new universe of college sports. Now, whether the question is a school like Memphis, let's say that comes to pass in some form, that there's some revenue sharing and that, like, if Trev Alberts at Texas A&M says he needs to find $20 million a year in extra, you know, in extra revenue or he called it something expenses. So you got to find $20 million a year to share with your players. How does Memphis do that?
Right.
The answer is Memphis doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Unless Memphis is part of a conference where they're getting a much bigger TV check, right?
True.
So it really does relegate Memphis even more to minor league status if all of a sudden Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee are coming up with $20 million a year to pay athletes. There's no way that Memphis can do that. Memphis already runs a deficit in football.
Yeah.
So it's not a good thing for the University of Memphis. I don't see how one can frame it as such.
Now, with the House versus NCAA, Connor and I were debating: Could I hire somebody to see my NIL valuation? Get some back pay?
I think you have to be party to the lawsuit.
Okay, it's too late for me. I missed the boat.
I think it's probably too late for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn, that's hard to hear.
You know what? You could have endorsed the ice cream store. You know,
where was it? TCBY. Sure could have.
Yeah, I could just see you working.
Even though I'm not
TCBY.
The biggest TCBY fan, I'm more of a Ben and Jerry's guy. But that's a different story
TCBY
for a different.
Why TCBY today? Then why was the
wife wanted it?
Oh, I see. She likes TCBY.
Yeah, she's a big fan. She used to work there, so she's a big fan.
I can tell you.
Well,
I saw Gabe was enjoying the TCBY.
I was.
There was some big, huge licks as he was driving
to
by.
To be fair, I was enjoying the TCBY yesterday.
It was such a funny sight.
Yes. Right. And while driving, yes. Probably not the safest thing in the world, but hey, I enjoyed my TCBY yesterday, but not every day. But Jeff, I appreciate it, man. I enjoyed this. Here. That's Jeff Coggins, @Jeff_Coggins on X. Daily Memphian columnist, also hosts the Jeff Coggins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Other two things that mom wants for Mother's Day: jewelry and flowers. Robert Irwin Jewelers has you covered because now through Mother's Day, get a free Mother's Day flower bouquet with your purchase of $99 or more while supplies last. Here's what you got to do. Head over to Robert Irwin Jewelers and choose a gift of jewelry that mom will treasure forever. Some examples: to the moon and back, Mother's Day diamond necklace featuring a mother and a child holding hands in the middle of a crescent moon adorned with sparkling diamonds and featuring a sterling silver chain with the phrase "to the moon and back" engraved on it. That's $99. Flexi diamond bangle bracelets, new collection of diamond bangle bracelets that are flexible and contoured to fit her wrist. Wear one, stack a few, available in white, yellow, or rose gold from $899 to $5,999. You can get Diamond Essentials, Classic Collection of Crafted Diamond Solitaire Earrings, Pendants, Bracelets, whatever you want to get a bigger and brighter sparkle from $299 to $299,000. They have all the selection you need. And when you spend $99 or more, Robert Irwin Jewelers will reserve a vibrant and colorful Mother's Day fresh flower bouquet that will be ready for pickup the Friday and Saturday before Mother's Day. Free financing, 12 months. 0% interest, or take up to 60 months to pay. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Mother's Day sale going on right now at all five of the Robert Irwin Jewelers locations, or you can go online to check it out at rijewelers.com. Let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, it'll be time to get into small talk right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.